way you want to come and pray for us.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, your greatness. Mm-hmm. Oh Lord God, that from the beginning you started a work that you have determined to finish. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes,
amen, amen. Many have come and many have gone.
Yeah.
Many have gone and walked in the anointing of their time. Hallelujah. My God, but none has completed what you have begun and that which pleases you. Amen. And so, Lord, we know that you have called a people in this time to go on. Hallelujah. We have walked in certain principles. We have walked in a path of salvation. But now, Lord, you are calling us to go on to perfection. Hallelujah. That which will make us what we ought to be in you. That we will no longer be half-baked, half-made, half in this way or in that way. But Lord, that we will come, go on to perfection. Hallelujah. That which you declared for us. That which you have started in us, my God, we have enjoyed the power of the blood that delivered us from sin. We enjoy the anointing of the Spirit that led us into gifts and ministries. Now, my God, we want to be like you.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. We want to lay aside every weight and this sin that so easily beset us, and run with patience the race. So, Lord, we ask that you will reveal in our hearts unto everyone, because you have established within us a throne that will judge
Amen.
Us. Hallelujah. Day after day, no one will be able to ask, am I right? Or am I wrong? Because the right and the wrong is written within us. Hallelujah. And we are just honest to ourselves. We will know when we are wrong and when we are right. When we are on a path that leads to glory or to worldly fame and destruction. Hallelujah. We thank you, my God, for the way that you have set up the human race for us and the race of the kingdom. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We ask, O God, that you will help us this day to leave earthliness. Amen. Leave worldliness. Hallelujah. And set our eyes on the mark of the kingdom. Hallelujah. We thank you, my God. We thank you. We feel in the spirit this morning that you are setting up such a move, that you have set up such a move in some hearts, and some are ready, and some are still having their eyes on other things, and some are looking back like Lot's wife. Hallelujah. But my God, we ask that you will help us to see where we are, and where we ought to be, and where we should be. Hallelujah. Amen. Let our eyes not be taken off the goal and the prize that lies before us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We ask that you will help us to catch a glimpse this day of that which you are working within us, around us. Amen. And not to lose sight. Because, my God, many, many, many have caught the principle of church, the principle of preaching, a certain principle of walking, a certain principle of operating, and Lord, not caught up in the spirit not caught up in the spirit that lead them on to perfection. But Lord, we want to be caught up in that spirit this day. Hallelujah. Amen. We want to shake off the garment of unrighteousness and unholiness, and put on the garment of praise and glory. Garment that lead us to glory. Amen. 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 The song says we come to glorify your name, Lord. And as you look down in our hearts, you see those who are prepared, who are ready, those who have the desire to glorify your name. We ask that you will help us, Lord. Help us. Help us, my God, to leave the things that do not profit, the things that are earthly, fleshly, and condemning unto our souls, and reach out unto you who have prepared a way for us, that we must walk in it. We must walk in it. There is no pathway. There is no halfway. There is no quarter way. We must be fully set for that which will bring us into glory, that which will glorify. When we think of glorifying, hallelujah, it's no earthly thing that can describe it and to make us feel that we are glorifying. We know when we hit the mark, because the glory of God comes down in our souls and shows where we are and where we ought to be. Help us this day, O God. We are on the last lap, and we do not want to fail. We want to fully measure up. So God, give us the grace. Amen. Give us the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. That we might press on, that we might leave earthly things and be bound for the things that are glorifying, the things where you, in which you dwell, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
While they fix the thing here, I want to make a few remarks. Amen. Necessarily need to be taped. First of all, I want to say how blessed I am to be with you. It's a real blessing and an honor to be with you, to have the strength, the ability to be here and to share with you some of the glory which God has been sharing with us. When we gather together, like in a meeting like this, the promise of the Lord is that He will be with us to bless us and to do us good. But in Jesus Christ, there's a certain order. And as I sit there and the song service begin to go on, I begin to see and hear things which are, you know, part of the order of God in us today. Praise God. We see and understand that song, when they began to sing, I was born to be your dwelling place, just brought before me a scripture that showed that in the end of time, there would be a generation born. That means from the time you were born, from the time you were conceived, you were ordained to be part of that generation, that army of God for the end of time. Now, most of you will look down and say, poor me. I'm a wretched person, and you cry down yourself. You don't glorify God for being what you are. Oh, yeah.
If you find yourself a footmat, glorify God for being a footmat that somebody can walk on you. Amen. Praise God. I see before me an army of God who don't even know who they are. I see a people of God who God is doing something with in the end of time.
Amen.
That you don't even know what he's doing. Amen. Your energy, your spiritual energy, you talk about glory and you don't even know what you're talking about. The energy of God which comes through you is stopping the devil from doing what he wants to do.
Amen.
Amen. Satan intended to do a wreckage here, and you're walking, and you disrupt and disturb his old plan. You don't know, because you don't even recognize who you are. Get up in the morning and say, Lord God, I thank you for Mary. I thank you for Cecil. That's me saying me, right? And you saying you. I thank you, Lord God, for this Cecil that you have given me. I'm so wretched and everything else, but I thank you that you can find a way to work in me. To disrupt the works of darkness. To stop Satan in his activities. And to make the world what it ought to be. Let me tell you something. God says, I'm going to give you a scripture for that. God says that if the hearts of the children, help me with that now, didn't turn to the fathers.
Yeah. The hearts of the fathers to return to the children, and the hearts of the children to return to the fathers.
Yes. What would happen? The earth would be cursed. What is he talking about? You mean to say God would curse his beautiful earth? Because I didn't do right? Let me tell you, brethren, it is because of you why the curse is not able to function as it was planned by Satan.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody brought in a false doctrine. And the doctrine took the minds of wicked men. Amen?
Yes.
And they call it Islam. They call it Islam. But do you realize that it is a doctrine of the church? Islam came out of the Catholic Church. It was the Catholic Church who first started to take the sword and said, if you don't accept the Pope as the head of the church, we kill you. Right. And you fought, and millions were killed.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Now, of course, they are pretending to, these wicked Muslims. It is the wickedness of humanity that is showing forth itself among a group of people who have submitted themselves to this thing. So what God is doing, he said, all right. He's calling us another set of people who will submit themselves to something else. Amen. I exalt thee, Lord God, from this day onward, be king in here.
Amen.
Don't allow me to do my own thing. Because my way, my desire is to do my own thing. My God, don't allow me.
Amen.
I want to be a prisoner of God. I want God to dwell in me, just like how Satan is dwelling in that person out there.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And look at it this way. He said, they will love their lives. They'll not love their lives unto what?
Death.
Amen. They will not love their lives. What's that? Do you know anybody who is like that? The Muslims. The Muslims. They are going and they are blowing up themselves and killing themselves in order to kill a few people. What's that? That is saying to you that if they reach that stage on that side, brother, you better quickly get to that stage on the other side, brother, because God wants the people who are fearless.
Amen.
And don't think about their own lives. Start teaching these children what the value of life is. The value of life is serving God, walking in the Spirit. No man can kill you. Believe it or not.
Amen.
You better believe it.
Yes.
No man can kill you if God wants you to live.
Amen.
And the only time they can kill you is if God wants you to die. And if God wants you to die, running is not going to help you.
Amen.
Don't you hear me?
Amen.
This is what God is saying to us as a people. I'm making these few remarks before I ask Brother Tom to come and read a scripture for me. Amen. You see, I'm warning him that I am after him. The truth is, let me tell you the truth. I'm going to let you into a little secret. The Spirit gives me certain suggestions. Amen. Amen. The Spirit wants to bless Tom, for instance, this morning. He wants him to come up here and to read the scripture for you. Amen. So I'm moving according to what is coming to me. Amen. Hallelujah. The rest I don't know. Right? So the point of us being here, the point of us coming together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is because we are people of God. Let me tell you something. Some of us have gone through hell. Oh, yes. Some of us have gone through hell. Our marriage lives have been wrecked, destroyed by Satan. But you know what happened? We are here this morning. It means that Satan didn't get to kill us.
Amen.
Satan didn't get to take God out of us. Amen. That's why we are here this morning. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You know, we used to say funny, but it's a peculiar people. You're not funny, you're just peculiar. Yes, Satan is afraid of you. He can't understand. He whopped you, he did everything to kill you, and then you come up and say, Jesus, I love you.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Sin cannot send you to hell because God has planted something in you that will overcome every sin.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God Almighty. Brother, come read the scripture for me. I want you to read Psalm 98. And just one point in it that I want to show you. Hallelujah. You have a mic or you want to come up here, brother? Yeah. The Lord wants your voice to go against Satan this morning. Just for you to read it.
Hallelujah.
And let me find it here first. And make sure it's that is the right chapter. Psalm 98, it's a short psalm, so you can just read. Yes, brother.
Hallelujah. Psalm 98. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel.
Yes.
All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and with the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sounds of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity.
Praise be to God. Thank you. The word I want to show, the word that the Spirit brings to me here, his right hand and his holy arm had gotten us the victory. God has a right hand. And if God has a right hand, that means he has a left hand also. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, I need a little amen sometimes. You notice that most of the mighty men of God were left-handed. David was a left-handed. Now, why did the scripture say David was left-handed? You see, it's a hint. Right along scriptures, you find little hints that point to certain truths that you never see in 100 years. David was left-handed because God was saying that David and his people and Israel was the left hand of God. All right. Now God said to David, David went to the Lord, said, Lord, the Philistines have come up to fight me. Shall I go out and fight them? Now I don't know if you people are so independent that you think you can do things without asking God. But I'm telling you, begin to get into the habit of asking God if I can go out to the store this morning. Yeah. Amen? So David went and asked God. And God said, yes, go up against them and you will overcome them. Now what would you do, Brother Peter? What would you do, Brother David, if God tell you, yes, the victory is yours? People like me would get up and rush out and tear them to pieces. But David knew God a little bit more than I did. So he went out, and as a general, he knows that every battle has a certain order for victory. He goes out and he said, now God, we are here. What is the order of battle? Now the right hand and the left hand work together. Your right hand can lift so much. Your left hand can lift so much. But when you put them together, both hands will lift 3 times more than each hand by itself. So, the left hand of God must get the right hand to work first. And the right hand is going to direct the battle, not the left hand. So, God said, don't move. Divide your people into 3 companies. Hide behind the mulberry trees. And when you see my signal, I'm going to shake the leaves at the victory is yours. Do you know what happened? When the leaves started to shake, the battle was over. The right hand of God had smitten them. And they only went to mop up the left hand. So therefore, we are the left hand of God. In other words, we are the part of God that is in the natural. Amen. We are in the natural. God wants us to realize that God uses us like a man uses his left hand with the right. God sends you out there to pray for somebody. Go. Amen. And when you go, find out what God wants you to say. What God wants you to do. Amen. And so, this thought came in when we were singing and we were praising, and God said, "You are my left hand." Now we remember that. We turn to Joel. Now this is the word here, Joel chapter 2. You know, we have heard these things many times, but sometimes we get a new revelation and the revelation that we had before. And sometimes we get a new revelation on the new revelation. And that's what it is like. We read from verse 28. "And it shall come to pass afterwards that I..." "will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions." Now, God is talking about a special time and a special pouring out of his spirit. And I want you to notice what the pouring out of his spirit does. Because it says he is going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. That means the spirit of God will be poured out upon the left hand or the body of Christ. The spirit will be poured out at the same time upon the right hand, which is the Spirit of God himself to be with them. The Spirit will be poured out upon the Baptist. The Spirit will be poured out upon the Methodist. The Spirit will be poured out upon the Democrats. The Spirit will be poured out on the Republicans. The Spirit will be poured out on every class of sinner that there is. And watch what's going to happen. On us, we will have the old men dreaming dreams. We'll have the young men having visions. We will have, in other words, what we would call a move of the Spirit, because the Spirit is upon us. Amen. Let's read a little more. "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke." Eh? That's the same pouring out of the Spirit. The same Spirit that's quickening you is the same Spirit that's causing blood and fire. Now you know that blood means somebody's going to die. Amen. And fire and pillars of smoke. That means atomic bombs are going to go off in the earth. You know, somehow or the other, somebody said they don't see anything about atomic bombs in the Bible. I'm glad God didn't write it there, because somebody would have made it before. Amen. Oh, yeah. So, the pillars of smoke is the atomic weaponry that is going to be used in the world, and it has a great terrible pillar of smoke going up into the stratosphere. And of course there will be blood and there will be fire. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord shall come. Now, I want you to understand what we're talking about. I have seen the sun turn into darkness. But guess what? It was a shadow that came over me. In other words, we had an eclipse. And all the animals thought it was night, and they started, you know, carrying on. And the weather dropped 30 degrees. Huh? 30 degrees just for the thing to pass over. So we can understand what is going to happen. You have got to get your warm clothes ready, because if the sun turns into darkness, it's going to be cold down here. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Remember now, it shows that there is a time when we're going to need deliverance.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Believe me, brethren, I remember we were in California one time, and we set a date for a baptism, and we did not know that it would be the coldest day in the year. And when we went out to that baptismal pool, everybody was shivering. Now, I come from down yonder, you know. And down there, we don't know anything about cold. But I couldn't let down God. The people wanted to be baptized, though they were shivering. And so, Brother Smiley was beside me, and we both went into the water, and brother, we were dying. We were in ice water. And he whispered to me, I'm cold. And I said, listen, let us pray. And both of us held to God and said, Lord God, send your warmth into us. And believe you me, it was so comfortable that we didn't want to come out of the water. We stood there for over an hour and baptized the people. Because they would come in shivering, get their cover up, and run and put on clothes and everything. And we had to remain there in the pool. And it was warm. Amen. I love God. Sure. Oh, I love God. Amen. I love God. Amen. Shibana Hashaba.
Hallelujah.
He will do anything. Don't you understand? Anything you can ask him for, he will do it. The truth is, most of the things you ask God for, it is God that put it in your mind to ask him for it. Amen. And believe you me, God is a savior to the uttermost. Hiya! It means to say, no matter how sinful I am, no matter how wretched I am, that's no barrier to God. Amen. He said, anyone in that day shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be delivered. Isn't that wonderful? I am asking you, you see, It is a state of mind. You know, I'm not a psychologist or anything like that. But I'm telling you that God Almighty, He made that mind that you have. He made that mind that you have. And that mind controls this body much more than you know. Amen. Anything you can believe can come to pass. Are you with me? Anything that you can believe can come to pass. If you can believe that you will fly, you will fly. You see, what is the problem is that it's hard for you to believe that you are going to get up and fly. But if you are in such a trouble that you have to leave at a place, you have to move out from one place to the other, God will take you out there before you know it. Amen. Amen. And I am telling you from experience, I'm telling you from experience that the Bible you have is only a book of suggestions. Yeah, it suggests things, but the mind you have is a source of power and action. Hallelujah. You don't have to grow old. You don't have to grow weak. It's according to how you believe it. If you believe that you are old and weak and you're going to get it. If you believe that the God in you is a consuming fire, He is an energy and life, you'll have energy and life. Then Moses said to God, he said, I am 80 years of age. And he said, I am just as when I was a young man when you called me to send me out there. He said, the Bible said, his natural force had not been abated. Hear me now. You can go to bed old and get up young. If you can believe it. But I know it's hard for you to believe. But if you believe God, you can believe anything. Yes. Ah! Hallelujah. Jesus said to the brethren, in another suggestion to their minds, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. That means that God the Father has given me power so that I can not only create movement on earth, but I can create movement in the heavens. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And then he made the suggestion. He said, you go with my authority and preach the gospel.
Amen.
Amen. You know what he said to me when he sent me out? Amen. And I'm talking to Jesus as a person sitting down there. I said, no man shall stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. My God, help us. Help us. 80 years I have not been defeated.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. Yes. The first house we bought, we moved in with a contract, you know, a brother help us to get the house and everything like that. But I had a contract with the Lord. I said, Lord, I want a house. Now, I'm not telling you to do this. Because I do believe that God puts certain suggestions in people's minds to make them ask certain things. So if I am telling you a story and you said, well, I'm going to do like says to do, you might be heading for defeat. You must get your own thoughts from heaven. But the thought that came to me is, Lord, I want a house for my wife and for children, but I do not want one that I'm going to owe money on, because I don't like the idea of having to pay money every month without a salary, right? So a man came and offered me this place, and he wanted to give it to me for nothing. You hear that? He says, you take care of my grandparents and my uncle and auntie, and they will give you the house, and you will you will possess the house when they die. And when he came with that contract before me, the Lord said, offer him X amount for the house. I don't have a cent, but offer him X amount, top price. I said, thank you, but no, I will not work on this contract. I will purchase the house for X amount. The man said, what kind of idiot you are? I would give you the house for two-thirds of what you say. And you are, I say, God say, I must buy the house from you for that amount of money, and it is either that or no deal. He said, all right. We got the contract drawn up, and the house was delivered over to me, and my brother-in-law came and said, did you notice that property had another a lot on another street behind it? I said, no, I didn't notice it. He said, well, I'll buy the lot from you. I said, how much you want to me? Don't you want to pay me for the lot? He said, I'll pay you X amount. That's the amount that I bought the whole place for.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Now remember, he is a real estate contractor, and he knows what he's doing. This is a very valuable, high-class area. So, therefore, we did the deal, and all of a sudden, I found that I had a house without owing anything on it. But guess what? The brother came to me and said, all right, now that you have got into this deal, you must give me half of that money. Now, God didn't tell me about that. Though in my heart I felt we should give him something. So I said, no. He said, this deal was done by the Lord. I'll give you something. I'll get some money and give you somewhere, but not half. Put myself back into debt. He said, listen, I am not asking you. I'm telling you. I said, well, no man is able to do that for me. I will not. And he said, well, all right. We will see. Next thing, I got a letter from a lawyer that a caveat has been put against the house, and for monies that I owe my brother. Now, I'm talking about brethren, people in the Lord who we fellowship with. And I said, and you see, there's a lot of unrighteousness amongst us. And I said, but I don't owe this man anything. I never borrowed any money. What is this? So I went down to the lawyer. I got a lawyer. And this lawyer called me in. And I said to him, I don't know old is man anything, he said, don't you? He took out a long paper and handed me. He said, this man has all this against your place, and said he owed you dates and everything, money, right there. For 3 years or more, the brother was our best our best donor. He was in a good position, and he would give us offering every month, and he gave us his motorcycle. So we rode, we did the mission on motorcycle, up and down over the hills, and the man put out every tithe that he had given to the church, put it out on a long paper, and sued me for it. Amen. Now, to you, that looked like defeat. Remember, God said he was going to give us this place. Amen. But I don't know if you're reading your Bible. He said you will get 100-fold with tribulation. Did you read that in your Bible? So then, what are we going to do? I went to the lawyer. The lawyer said, well, you have a good case. You know, this man gave it to the church. He shouldn't be able to do that. And the Lord said to me, if your brother would take you to, can you help me now? Take you to the law to get your coat. Give him the cloak also. Give him more than what he's asking for. So what did I do? I said to the lawyer, give it to him, no case. The lawyer said, but you can win in court. I said, no court for me. I said, I have been in the courthouse for many years, working as assistant prosecutor, and I happen to know that no judge is going to look at this kind of money given to a minister as just for nothing. If this man says it is so, first thing the judge is going to find out, did you get this money? And I'll say yes. He's going to give him the case anyhow. So I gave him the property. Gave him the property, wife and kids. We were small enough that we could hold in a little Morris Minor. Now, you people don't know anything about, but you see those little cars that they make now, the little ones that look like a box? Something like that. And the whole family with all our earthly goods, bedding and everything on top of the car, and children piled up with bundles on them, and we said goodbye to the house, and we left. And while we were going on down the road, tears began to run down my wife's face. And the Lord spoke and said to her, don't worry, I'll give you 10 times more than this.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And no man shall stand before you all the days of your life. It doesn't mean that you are going to take away all the properties around here. It means that you have to walk in the Word of God and in the Spirit of God. Well, I am sorry about this. We just sang a little too long. Amen. I don't know what time you're used to dismiss here. It's 12:15 now.
2 o'clock or 3 o'clock.
We haven't
even started yet.
Amen. Praise God. So, you should start from 8. Praise God. So he said then, in the last days, there will be a people who will come upon whom he will pour out his spirit. Now what I saw here is temples. You start to sing about, I exalt thee. You must now exalt Jesus Christ to be king of here, inside here. No more your own mind govern your own activity, but the Spirit of God begin to govern your activity. The Spirit of God begin to say, get up, get some exercise. Time to lie down. You want to work all night, time to lie down. Time to get up. Because you give him that temple and he must be Lord inside that temple. Not just Lord Jesus Christ for everybody, but Lord Jesus Christ for my temple. Bless God Almighty. Amen. Give him your legs. Give him your joints. You know why I'm talking about that? Joints start paining.
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you this. My joints, my knee pain so much that I could not sleep. I went to the doctor. The doctor said, arthritis. Amen. But hear this one now. When I get up to preach, there's no pain in joints.
Amen.
You know, there is no pain in joints.
Amen.
Something is wrong. Don't you think so, brother?
Amen.
Something is wrong. That pain in joint is in my mind. Or, no, let's put it the other way. You got the mind and you should have healed that joint by the mind. Because the mind to get up and preach, your joint is obeying. The joint is obeying. Do you understand me, brethren? Please try to understand me. Your body is obeying your mind. If your mind tells you that you are 90 years of age, no matter how young you are, you're going to get to be 90 pretty quick.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Let us become supernatural people.
Amen.
For God's sake, brethren, be supernatural. We are not natural. Let us not slip into the natural. Let us arise out of the natural into the supernatural, because this is the anointing that God says he will, his spirit, or put his spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters, you notice he said that old men are going to behave like young men.
Amen.
Amen. Didn't he say that? This is what he's talking about. There is a ministry of God in each person. Amen?
Yeah.
Like how my whole body is ministering. Now my knees have to start ministering. Amen? My knees have to minister because it is time to minister. It is time to stand up for hours and to preach without having any disruption or failure. Let us arise. Cover in Jesus. Get up in the morning. Jesus, I exalt you to be king. Ha! Over my body today.
Amen.
Amen. Now you say to yourself, but what about if I sin or if I do wrong, if any man sin, come on, Anna. If the beautiful, righteous people sin, did he say that? He said, if any man sin, you have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ, the righteous. If any man sin, he has, let's put it another way, if anyone get dirty, there is a washerwoman standing beside you that is ready to clean you up. Oh yes! Covering Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
If any man, he said, Jesus Christ died in order that you should not sin. Amen. That we all understand. He died to prevent you from sinning. And we all understand that. But, but, I know you. I know your weakness.
My God.
And you're going to sin. And if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father ready to forgive you of all sins. So that when you walk through the door this morning, you should have no sin. You should have already asked the advocate to clean you up. But because you didn't ask the advocate then, you still have the right and the opportunity to ask the advocate anytime you want. Clean me up, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Set me free, Jesus. Amen. And he said, deliverance will be let loose. Deliverance will be let loose in the whole earth. Hallelujah. You know, I tell you, as I sat down there, he brought a song. He brought a song, and the song is, it started with I am the Lord that healeth thee.
Amen.
I see all the spiritual diseases. And we say, I am the Lord that healeth thee. There's nothing that you have done that is too bad for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To deliver you.
Hallelujah.
And to set you free and to heal you right now and to make you just as if you had never sinned.
Amen.
Now that's the great part about it. I see you do something wrong, and I hold you up in my mind. You're unrighteous. I will. Yes, yes. Hello, praise God. God bless you, but you're unrighteous. I have it in my mind. I can't get away from it. But guess what happened? You've been delivered long ago. Amen. I am the Lord that healeth thee. And as we sing, I am the Lord that healeth thee, you can see the healing power of God.
Hallelujah.
Coming down. I'm going to give you one. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts. And we are going to see where Peter quoted this very scripture. And why did Peter quote it? So you would feel to yourself, oh, that's gone then. Huh? That is finished and done with. Because Peter said it's finished, eh? Yes. It's two sixteen. All right, good. Thank you. Yeah, he said, and it shall come to pass. Well, let's go back. The Holy Ghost came down on them, and Peter get up to preach now. He's totally in the Spirit. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was written, spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, with the pouring out of the Spirit, there is a beginning and there is an ending. So then, at the beginning of the pour out, and you have the latter rain, you have the former rain, and you have the latter rain. In the beginning of the planting season, you had the rain, and at the time of harvest, that you had another rain for the ripening of the grain. And I will show wonders in the heavens, signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke, so and so. But look at this. There was no blood. When the Holy Ghost fell on Pentecost, was there any blood?
No.
No. The blood come afterwards. Don't you see what's happening? That was the beginning, and this is going to be the ending.
Amen.
So then, when Peter said there would be blood and fire and vapors of smoke, as Joel said, he was only quoting Joel, but it was only part of the prophecy which had begun to be poured out. Now, the Spirit of God, at that time, the Roman power was ruling. And the power has developed. You think we are still having the Roman power? Everything we have is Roman, including our language. Everything we had is Roman, Roman, Roman. Both English and Spanish, Roman. Everything is Roman, German, Roman. Italian, Roman. Europe, all Roman. Amen. So the Roman power that created this problem, this debacle, this horrible condition, is gaining, it's coming to its fullness. And God said that what's going to happen in our time, he is preparing a people to deal with it. So we are not only going to deal with the situation in the natural, but also in the spiritual. Now the spiritual is first, that we, the people of God, we are going to have to get that in our minds and in our hearts and out there. You cannot expect to minister to the earth unless you minister to this earth first. Are you with me?
Yes.
So what God is saying, that in this time, the pouring out, the second pouring out of His Spirit, or the last pouring out of His Spirit, is going to take over and overcome the world.
Hallelujah.
Brethren, He said the last enemy that shall be overcome is what? Is dead. Do you think that you're going to overcome death? Do you think you're going to get to the point where they can't kill you again? Amen? In order to overcome death, you have to prove it.
Yes,
now, Peter, how are you going to prove that you are immortal?
A, if I don't die, or B, if I die, I resurrect.
No, if you don't die, you'll never prove it. You wouldn't convince me, hey man, that you're immortal if I could stick you with a knife. And you would holler. Amen? The only way to prove that you are immortal is to let them kill you. And then you come back and said, well, I told you. Huh? Come on, you tell me. This is what God is training you for. That's why he said you must not fear death. You must come to the point where you have overcome death and you laugh death in the face. Come, I dare you to kill me. Amen. Yeah. Jesus said, if you kill me, I will rise again on the third day. Oh, yes. And they didn't believe. But guess what? They went to Pilate and said, listen, give us a guard. You know? Give us some human beings with weapons. Give us some human beings with weapons. And let us stand guard over that tomb. Because this deceiver, his people going to come and seize his body and then proclaim that he is resurrected. Brethren, that was the very thing that proved the resurrection to them. Because they had their guard there. And when Jesus resurrected, many men, including Pilate, and all those accepted Jesus as the Son of God. As a matter of fact, the centurion stood up there, and when he saw the man, he had seen many men die. But when he saw this man, he said, truly, that is the Son of God. Amen. He knew nothing about God. He, as a matter of fact, he said, son of Zeus. He didn't know anything about Elohim. He said Zeus. But it turns around that God is not finished with these people. He wants a whole group of people all over the world that will resurrect before the sinners and said, I told you.
Amen.
But you have to come to the point in your mind and in your consciousness where you can rejoice in the fact that they will kill you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God.
You must come to the point where you rejoice in your heart. Man. I'm going to show them a thing today that they had never seen before.
Amen.
Kill me, and in 3.5 days,
hallelujah,
I'm going to rise up and go back to the courthouse and say, remember me? Amen. This is what the scripture is speaking about. It said, the sun shall be turned into darkness. And the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord shall come. S-U-N. S-O-N. Hear me now. S-U-N-S-O-N.
Amen.
Just as the S-O-N died. Amen. The S-U-N got dark when the S-O-N died.
Amen.
Caleb, you understand what the difference between S-U-N and S-O-N? There you are. So when the S-O-N, S, S-O-N-S, that means more than one, right? All of us. When the sons die, the S-U-N will get dark. Now, let me tell you when it's going to happen. Now, and then you're going to kick me out of this place. If you turn your Bibles to Matthew 24... You turn your Bibles to Matthew 24. And mine is slightly worn. In 29. What does it say? Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the S-U-N be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars, S-O-N-S. Come on, are you with me?
Amen.
And the S-O-N-S shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken.
Hallelujah.
Huh? And then shall appear the sign of the S-O-N of man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
Amen.
Amen. What it means, what it means is that the Christ that you have in you now will take over this body and blaze his glory out upon the people of this world. And they will no longer see you as whatever they call you. They'll see you Christ Jesus walk in the earth. Of course, you know that it said the S-O-N will come from heaven. Are you with me?
Amen.
The Son of God will come from heaven, and when he appears, we will appear.
Amen.
Amen.
You see, all scriptures can be put together.
Yeah.
When the scripture said, when he shall appear, then shall we also appear. They didn't, because we shall be like him. They didn't know us before. You are not appearing now. You are covered up with clouds. The cloud of your flesh. It's a covering. It's a cloud. Amen. That's covering who you really are. But then there's going to be a breaking loose. Oh, glory to God. You know something? When a demon spirit sees you, what do you think he sees? When, for instance, when you resist him and he flee from you, why does he flee from you? The energy and the light of Jesus that is hidden in you is covered up with a lot of flesh. And God, in many places in the scripture, God called it cloud. Amen?
Yeah.
Did the scripture tell you that he will appear in clouds?
Yeah.
But it's a cloud of glory. That means it's saints. It's the clouds that are covering him. Jesus is being covered up now by those of us who have Christ in us. We are like a cloud that covers the sun. We're covering him. People don't see Jesus when they see you walking down the street. They see man. They see woman. Hi! Don't you understand? God is saying that immediately after the tribulation. There's only one problem I have with that word. Any of you know what problem it is? Huh? Huh? The tribulation is supposed to be next year, ending next year. We have been in tribulation for 40 years, for 39 years. Next year is supposed to be the 40th year of the tribulation that has taken the world, the great tribulation. Now, if then 2008 is the end of the tribulation, then according to this, maybe by 2009, Jesus Christ would come. And the problem I have is that I don't know what immediately means in the scriptures.
Yes, amen.
Yes, amen.
Right.
Anybody knows? It might be 3.5 years. It might be 4. But that doesn't bother me. I believe God. I tell the truth, I believe God, it doesn't bother me. Somebody's afraid to preach it because if you preach it and it doesn't happen, you will be, oh, who am I? I don't care. I preach what I hear. I preach what I see. Amen. If that's the way I must get my licking, let me have it. Amen. Are you with me? Are you seeing where we are?
Amen.
Amen. I might be able to tell you something else, what I'm seeing later on. I'm going to be here for 4 days, and I bless God for it. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Ona. Thank you, Emeka. They brought me here at this time. And then the other brother said, you must come to Oklahoma. I said, no, I have to leave here, go home, and come to Oklahoma next week. I said, oh no, I'll just stay right here.
Amen.
God arranged it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come with me now. It's not, I won't say the word. It's not lunchtime. So, you listen to me here now. If this thinking is right, remember now, it is the thinking that hooks up with heaven. God gave you a little machine called a brain. And that machine is to hook up with the Spirit of God. And he must motivate you from upstairs. Don't get motivated from downstairs.
Amen.
Amen. By your feelings. Get motivated from upstairs. By your mind.
Amen.
Working in the mind of Christ. Now, I have no doubt that the word I received in 1970 was a word, a true word of God, that the man that walked in through my door was a messenger of Almighty God. After he gave me the message, he disappeared. I believe that. I do believe that this was not given to me for me. I believe it was given to me because God knew he had a people who were coming, who would take it and who would run with it. Now, If that then, let me cut out the if. That then being an established truth. It means that we have 40 years to the tribulation, end of the tribulation. Watch what happens during that time from 1970, and watch what happened to Israel. Did you know that Israel is our clock? Did you know that Israel is our clock? Okay. Watch what happened to Israel from 1970 coming right on. Watch how they have whittled Israel down. Israel lost all her land and the Gaza Strip. Incidentally, that's the Philistine land. The Philistines have come back. Oh yeah, they call them now Palestinians. But it's the Philistines. So they have come back, and they're being pressured. The land that they're being pressured, they're now encased in a little ball, and they want the Golan Heights too. Brethren, open your eyes.
Amen.
Look at the clock. Israel cannot sit down there for another year. Yesterday, I was listening to the news. The news said, this man on the news, he's very forward with the knowledge of what's going on. He said, nobody's fooling themselves that the signs that we're looking for, two signs. The first sign is that they eject the United Nations inspectors out of Iran. You know that. The next sign, he said, is that they put up centrifuges, 8,000 centrifuges. Because he said, 8,000 centrifuges in 4 months can produce an atom bomb. Are you with me?
Yeah.
The centrifuge is the thing that purifies the uranium. And they said that these are the two sides. He said, if you see that happen, you know it is. This is it. 4 months. He says now, of course there are many things he doesn't see. They are pretending that they are making an atom bomb, right? They are pretending. They are doing everything, making an atom bomb. While you keep your eyes upon them, making an atom bomb, you are not noticing that atom bombs are coming in from Russia and from China. And they are going to pretend that they made these bombs to use them so that we don't blame Russia and China. But God is not asleep. He's got people with eyes looking at them. Amen. Now, God said, out of the Euphrates shall come the four spirits of destruction to destroy the earth. We'll go into that details a little more, tomorrow, God's willing. But please let us get our minds into the things of God so that we can see clearly what is happening out there. Out of the Euphrates, four angels. The first angel is the one of murder, destruction, and Revelation 7 says that there were four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. Amen. Four angels standing on the four corners of the earth waiting for the signal to destroy. And that the fifth angel rose up. What blesses me is that the scripture is so accurate. Amen. Angels generally come down, right? These angels come up. That means they're human messengers of God rising up in the spirit. And these one angel, the fifth angel, five is the number of ministry. The fifth angel, the fivefold ministry, rise up and said, don't hurt the earth. Don't touch the sea. Don't touch the grass, the little Christians out there. Don't touch anything until we have sealed the servant of God in their forehead. Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't you see? Can't you see with me that God is doing something to your mind?
Amen.
You don't think like you used to think anymore. You want God now. You are part of this God flow. God is flowing through the earth. You're part of this resurrection spirit. I am this. Hallelujah. Amen. The resurrection spirit of the living God is rising up in his people. Hallelujah. There is a resurrection that's going on. You are being anointed in your forehead.
Amen.
Stop thinking about marriage. Stop thinking about marriage and all that will come. You know, all that will come. God wants you to be married. He'll get you married. You don't have to worry about it. Is it Tom? Is it Harry? Is it Jane? Is it this? That, you know. Oh, my God, help us. Your mind must be concentrated upon God. And when your mind is concentrated upon God, all things come. Oh, they come to you. You don't have to go seeking them.
Amen.
Amen. Hosanna, amen. Hosanna, amen. Hosanna, amen. Amen, amen. Hosanna, yes, Jesus. Hosanna, amen. Don't you see what I am trying to say to you? Now, we're talking about 4 months now. It's gone down from... Yeah, this is 2007 still.
Yeah.
Amen. We got 12 months over there, and we still got 6 months back here. You're talking about by the end of this year, Iran will be in a position to create the chaos that they say they want in order to do that their imam might come. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And God Almighty is watching them. Rise up, church.
Amen.
Yes.
Rise up. Command the resurrection.
Hallelujah.
Don't consider your weakness, your sin, your fleshy desires. These are the things you overcome by the command from your mind. Hiya! Don't you understand me?
Amen.
Function in your human capacity. Do what you have to do. Amen.
Amen.
That doesn't bother the Son of God. Amen. He said, he that is born of God does not commit sin. I don't expect any one of you to commit sin. I expect you're going to sin. But I don't expect you to commit sin. Amen?
Amen.
When I butt my toe and fall down, did you say that I lie down? When a man lie down, he does it willfully. When you butt your toe and you drop on your nose, You get up quickly. I didn't plan that. That wasn't part of the plan. So sons of God are not sinners.
Yes.
If you sin habitually, you are not a son of God. So how do you come from being not a son of God to a son of God. Command it. In the name of Jesus Christ, let my sins be forgiven. Let the Spirit of the living God sanctify my soul. Let God come in where the devil has made an inroad. Hurt me. Hallelujah. I am against the works of darkness that have taken hold of me. I command the heavens. Jesus standing before Pilate. Pilate says to him, "Are you the Son of God?" Jesus did not answer him. He says, "I command you in the name of..." Huh? He didn't say Zeus this time. He said, "I command you in the name of Elohim." He might have used Elohim. He might have used El Shaddai. Look it up, brother. When I get home, I look at the computer. But he said, "I command you in the name of the Most High God. Are you the Son of God?" Jesus had to answer. He had to answer. The sinner man command God to speak to him. Because he used the name of Father God. Jesus Christ said, "Thou sayest." In other words, so it is. Amen. You have the power to command deliverance. Yes, one scripture said, "I command deliverance for Jacob." You command deliverance. Whatever the malady is, you must command deliverance. Amen. Whatever the trouble is, I saw it here. Disease, sickness, spiritual disease in the body. And the Lord said, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Amen. He sent his word. Huh? And heal our disease. "I am the Lord that healeth thee." Not one sick person must go through that door. And we're talking about spiritual sickness, which is the worst kind of sickness. "I am the Lord that healeth thee," said the Lord God to this congregation.
Hallelujah. Amen.
"I am your God. You shall have no other God beside me. I command your deliverance. I command your healing. Whatever the problem was, I'm going to fix your life." Ooh, Sheba. Ooh. We have no right to be sick. I'm talking about spiritual sickness. God, natural sickness is something that it's much less than spiritual sickness. Spiritual sickness cures natural sickness. I have seen every disease healed in my life that I know of. I've seen AIDS healed. Oh, yes. Right in Illinois here. I've seen AIDS healed. I've seen every disease healed. I've seen broken bones healed. Amen. Broken bones healed. X-ray show bones broken. Prayer and then X-ray. No bones broken. Amen. So that is simple for God. Please get into the state of mind. Huh? Get into the state of mind. Woo! Get into the state of mind. Somebody said, boy, he's gone. He's no preaching mind there. Huh? I am telling you, God made the mind as the controller of the soul. Mind tell foot to move, foot has to move because the mind controls the body.
Amen.
Amen. They're talking about, you know, nerves and whatever else, text message to brain and brain send message. I don't even see it that way. It's something supernatural. It's something supernatural that the mind, the body works immediately. The mind says, do that. Amen. And if that is the case, you had better begin to take care of your mind. Cover in Jesus. Shukumulu. Ekotaba shuku. Let me tell you, I'm going to tell you some secrets. You might believe, listen, when you begin to study the mind in the occult, the first stage that the Rosicrucianist go through, he must use his mind and move a piece of paper around a saucer. Take his mind. Now, you can't tell me that there are any nerve attachments to the mind on that paper. It is absolutely a spiritual operation. And he moves the paper around, and that he passes the first stage in Rosicrucianism, and then he goes on studying other things. Amen. But you know, we find out that he comes to a stage where he couldn't move a child of God. Amen. He couldn't cause a child of God to do what he wanted to do. Could cause other people to do it. Hallelujah. Now God is saying to you, keep your heart with all diligence. What do you think your heart is? It is a conclusion of the whole soul. The mind is the head of the soul. For out of it are the issues of life. Hallelujah! Amen. Begin to think of God. I saw a thing happen many years ago. I saw something happen down in West Palm Beach. In those days, we had churches all over Florida, right up. West Palm Beach was a very big group, strong group. And there was a Jewish brother in the group. And this sister wanted a shortcut into God. You ever met anybody who wants a shortcut into God? Amen? You want to be righteous. But you want to have a shortcut into God. And this man well knew the word of God. He well knew that there was a shortcut into God. anybody else here believe that there's a shortcut into God? Instead of going around struggling with this and that and the other, You just go and get your mind into God, into Christ. So he told the sister to begin to call upon the name of Yeshua. To call him. Call Jesus. And if you keep calling Jesus long enough, he'll come. Now, I am telling you that this is not the way to do it. This is not the way to do it. But I'm telling you what happens. Just as Pilate commanded Jesus, I adjure thee. Was it Pilate or was it the high priest? The high priest. I adjure thee in the name of the Most High God Jehovah. Are you the Christ? This woman began to call Jesus. Said, Jesus. Jesus. And she, you know what hysteria is? She kind of got hysterical. After half a day calling Jesus. And she got so bad that she couldn't stop. She couldn't stop. She couldn't do anything. Jesus. 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 And by the time the second day, her husband was troubled. Because she had gone like out of her mind. She wanted Jesus. And as she continued to call, her husband called us, told us that his wife had gone over the deep end. And she was just calling Jesus. So he didn't know what to do. He asked her to sit beside him and let them look at the television. He was thinking that that would help her too. But she sat down there looking at the television and Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And she's told me that she didn't see what was going on the television. But that she saw Jesus stand up behind the television. And he beckoned to her to come. She got up. And she said when she got up, she looked back. And she saw herself sitting in a chair. And she went behind to Jesus and talked with him. And I won't go into details of some of the things that Jesus told her, but she went back and got back into her body and sat down there with the husband. So he said, all right, let's go to bed. So when they went towards the bedroom, he went through the door and she got the notion that she could walk through the wall. So she went to the wall, and no problem. She went right into the bedroom. She said when she looked at the bed, she said to herself, if I could go through the wall like that, then if I'd lie down on the bed, I'm going to go through the bed. But then she said, no, she's going to lie down on the bed. So she got ready and got into her bed. And sure enough, she went to bed. And she woke up next morning. She said, well, last night, I came in here through the wall. So I had better go this morning and try walk through the wall again. Well, she got a rude awakening. What lesson did we learn? I asked her, I said, why then didn't you go through the bed when you lie down on it? She said she asked the Lord tell her, because you will to lie down on the bed. You lie down on the bed, that's what you wanted to do. Therefore, you lie down on the bed. You wanted to go through the wall last night. You went through the wall because you were in the spirit. Say you wake up the next morning, you weren't the same place. You couldn't stay there. This morning, you hit the wall. And so it was the experience she had, it didn't bring her higher in God. The only way you can be higher in God is if you stay there. You have to get the thoughts of God into your mind, defying the natural. A problem comes before you, and the problem is vicious and big. Hallelujah. You have to immediately believe that Christ Jesus will take care of that problem and believe it enough to rejoice. I noticed that when the songs are going on and it said, rejoice in the Lord, that feet were heavy, head were heavy. No, there was no rejoicing. Amen. Because you didn't believe it. You believe in the problems that bother you more than you believe in God. He said, I exalt thee. I exalt you above my problems. Amen. I exalt you above my financial problem, my circumstances that hold me earthbound right now. I exalt you, Jesus Christ, above every circumstance. I exalt thee. Don't you understand then why we have a song service? You must begin to put Jesus Christ in the place where he belongs. Amen. Above all principalities and powers.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hiya. Praise God. I won't burden you with any more of this, but if you catch the one thought that your mind is the head of the soul, that God is a spirit, and the Spirit of God works with your spirit, and your spirit work with your mind, and if you can get it in your mind, out of your spirit, that God is all powerful, that God does all things for me. I go back on it. If you want a husband, you want to be married, and it becomes a problem to your spiritual growth, just put it into a position where Jesus Christ is going to take charge of it and said, Jesus, I want to be married. Jesus, I want to be married. Sometimes to be married, you're going to have trouble in the flesh. Nevertheless, I want to be married. And so you said, whatever I want, I should tell you. I tell you, and I leave it there. You do the business for me. And then you start concentrating on God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help me. Help me sing this. Help me sing it. Where are the musicians? Let's close with this song.
I